Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Today we begin a brand new series as we journey towards Easter together, uncovering the incredible truth of why Jesus is like no other. He's the Son of God. That's what we're talking about today, the divine Savior with the power to heal, to redeem, and transform lives. And the greatness of God is most clearly displayed in His Son. And the glory of the gospel is only made evident in His Son. That's why Jesus' question to the disciples is so important. Same question that He's asking of you and me today. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. And it says this. It says, "But what about you? What about you? What about me? Who do you say I am?" Every person will someday answer that question. Verse 16 says, "Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood.'" So it wasn't revealed to him by anybody else around him, "but by my Father in heaven." Now, I believe this question is doubly vital for us today because not every Jesus perceived by other people is the real Jesus. Despite his widespread popularity, many still see Jesus in a different way. But how many people out there know the real Jesus, the Jesus that all of Scripture points to? You know, growing up, I became very familiar with a particular kind of Jesus, what I would call suffering Jesus. This was a good man who died a very cruel death that I always felt sorry for. I attended a very traditional church with my family, but I would leave church every Sunday asking myself the same question. Why would they depict a statue right in front of everybody's focus, depicting the worst day of this man's life? You know, if coming to church every Sunday was supposed to encourage me or spark my faith, this doesn't seem like the picture you should be putting in front of me. Is this the picture you want me to leave with at the end of that service? You see, for me back then, I didn't understand why he suffered so. And so that crucifix for me was kind of depressing. It was a downer. Every time I looked at it, I felt sorry for this man, Jesus. And yet, over time, I would come to know the truth. But back then, I thought, man, I think these guys have a branding problem. Like, I don't know that this should be the forward-facing image for the church or for the church I was going to. Because if we were to give it to a focus group, maybe some people would opt for a more accessible kind of Jesus. Someone who would connect with people better, a more down-to-earth, kind of coffee-drinking, relatable guy that everybody loves spending time with. Accessible Jesus. He just makes you warm and fuzzy on a rainy day. But you know what? There's still other people that would prefer a political Jesus, one who's supercharged and supports the party that kind of delivers on the issues that we're most passionate about. And a kind of Jesus that's not afraid to stand up and oppose those who are coming against us. Or how about fun Jesus? Everybody loves fun Jesus. He's not too serious. He's always good for a laugh. And he's open to all kinds of things that always lead to a good time. Everybody loves fun Jesus. Or maybe gentle Jesus is more your speed. Someone who makes you more comfortable. It's the Jesus that's meek and mild. He's got the long flowing hair. He's got bare feet. He's got the lamb wrapped around himself. We had an image. This image that you see is one that was actually on the wall, I think, in my house growing up after my parents came to Christ. Perfect skin, oh, gentle Jesus. Many people see him that way. Or how about historical Jesus? This one is probably a bigger category for most people, because people acknowledge the fact that he was somebody in history. This is a first century Jewish preacher that they recognize, this Jesus. He was a religious leader. This man was surrounded by controversy and mystery, and he would go on to become the central figure of Christianity. Historical Jesus. But you know what? The list goes on and on. Others prefer revolutionary Jesus or guru Jesus or good example Jesus. All of these things are kind of pictures that people have in their mind, but it's never the full picture. And it's usually a twisted picture. People have always attempted to customize who he is to suit their own agenda and their own personal preferences. But it will never change who he really is. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Not just another prophet, not just another rabbi, not just another wonder worker. He's the one his people had been waiting for. Son of David, Yahweh in the flesh. He's the one to establish God's rule and reign. The one to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, give freedom to the prisoners. And the one who would proclaim good news to the poor, Jesus, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. The Son of God was there at creation, impacted the world powerfully when he walked the earth, and he continues to influence humanity today through you and me. Now, I don't know about you, but from time to time, I've kind of wondered how my life has impacted the life of other people. And it's not a bad question to ask ourselves sometimes, because we all have an impact, directly or indirectly. Sometimes we're a good influence. Sometimes we're absolutely not a good influence. Sometimes we impact others in ways that we don't fully realize. But I believe that every life can be impactful. And when we look throughout history, we see the impact of some very influential people, people that we've been taught about in history books, people that have shaped society, people who have made a lasting impact on things like justice and peace, the arts and sciences. They've made a difference in theology and architecture and social culture and design. These are people of great influence. But all of those people, including those that are still shaping society today, would agree that there's no life that has had a greater impact on all of these areas and more than Jesus Christ. Napoleon once said this. He said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." Those are powerful words about Christ. You see, recognizing Jesus as the Son of God is actually foundational to our faith. It encourages us to live faith in an authentic way. The earthly ministry of Jesus has dramatically impacted the planet like no other person that ever lived. We measure time in reference to when he walked here. His teaching and example influences today how we treat each other. Many of the laws that we walk out in today's society have been influenced by his teaching. How we love. He gives us an understanding of what marriage is all about. How to show passion to other people. He impacts and has impacted how we care for other people, how we respond to the haters, because there's always going to be haters, and how we, despite them, can move forward with purpose. Jesus came with a goal to accomplish everything necessary for our salvation to become a reality. History prior to his coming looked forward to his arrival. And history since his coming looks back at what he accomplished while still looking forward to his return. I believe the key today to understanding Scripture as we dig into it is always asking ourselves the question, how does this truth point me to Jesus? Turn with me to Luke 24, verse 27. It says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," so he's referring to the books of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. "He explained to them," talking about Jesus, "what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." This verse is jam-packed with significance and meaning because it shows us that Jesus is he's the centerpiece of Scripture, that all roads in the Bible lead back to Jesus. And although there are many people who understand exactly who Jesus is and have been impacted personally, like many of you today, either watching online or here in the house, there are still many, many more who haven't. And that's our mission as the church. It's the great commission to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples. That's what just holds on to our hearts. So, who is he? Who is Jesus? And what work is he accomplishing? Well, I think in order to kind of answer that properly, we should start with looking at his role. Let's look at the role of the Son. Jesus has always existed as the Son of God, or as God the Son. He's always existed in perfect relationship with God the Father and God the Spirit. This is the Trinity. And we see the Trinity in action in Scripture. In Matthew 3, 16 to 17, in the baptism of Jesus, we see all three at work in the same moment. John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. He thought it should have been the other way around. And yet Jesus insisted that John baptize him. Scripture tells us that when Jesus came up out of the water, that the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended and fell on Jesus like a dove. So we see Jesus, the Son, we see the Spirit, and then it says the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, all in the same moment recorded in Scripture. You see, when Jesus came to earth and walked among us, there were many people who got into conflict with who this guy really was. He's the son of a carpenter. That's all he is. Other people said, this guy is just a troublemaker. Let's face it. Some thought he was a prophet. Others said maybe he was a worker of miracles. But Jesus posed the question to his disciples, and he asked them who they thought he was. Now, Peter, who would often be the first person to speak up in the group, answered Jesus and testified that you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Something within him that was revealed to him by God compelled him to say this. And in that moment, Jesus affirmed what Peter said. But he also stressed that the reason Peter understood this was that God the Father had revealed it to him. Now listen to me, if you and I come to believe that Jesus is God, it's because it was divinely revealed to you and I by his Spirit. That's the only way we come to that understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So from a natural perspective, it's easier for all of us to think of Jesus merely as a teacher or a historical figure. That's why so many people do. But if we believe he is the Son of God, like Peter did in that moment, it's only because our eyes, our spiritual eyes, have been opened to see that truth. His role within the Trinity is one of eternal sonship. Now, the second thing that we need to understand in knowing him is his nature, the nature of the Son. One of the most amazing kind of aspects of Jesus to consider is his dual nature. By nature, obviously, he was divine. But he was willing to choose also to take on a human nature when he submitted to the Father's will and was born on this earth as a man. Now he has two natures. He's 100% God, while at the same time being 100% man. Theologians refer to this union of two natures as the hypostatic union. Jesus has always been God, but he hasn't always been human. So this is a very interesting and powerful dynamic. And there are several places in the scriptures that stress his eternal divinity while also speaking to who he was as a man, talking about his humanity. Let's look at one of those in John in the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then down to verse 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," talking about Jesus, the living Word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And then it says the Word, down in verse 14, "The Word became flesh." Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. "And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see these two natures outlined with great clarity. Then again, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made human in human likeness." Powerful. That's the dual, forever inseparable natures of Christ. Then we see the work of the Son, what he came to do, what he has been doing and will do. You know, this past Sunday, after church was over, Pastor Susan and our Team Calvary crew set out to accomplish a long list of to-dos in a short period of time so that we're all set up and ready for Easter and our new series like no other. And this takes a lot. There's a lot of moving pieces to make this work come together. This year, some of our key leaders and those that would usually be involved needed to attend to those that are dealing with health issues and family issues. And so others were invited to step up to help with the work that needed to be done. And you know what? We are so blessed. And I want to thank all of you that were a part of that work. We're so blessed by you. Those of you that are willing at times to rise to the occasion and to be the difference makers, to accomplish the good work that needs to be done. These things in the moment don't always seem spiritual, but these practical things need to come to place to help create the environment where we're believing for people to come to know Jesus. That's the good work we're all invited to. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, has a work that he is joyfully accomplishing as well, that he's invited all of us to be a part of. Scripture tells us with clarity about this work, including what he's already accomplished and what he's still doing now and what he promises to do in the future. And one of the earliest aspects of Christ's great work is with regards to creation, way back at the beginning of the book. In addition to creating all things, he also, the Bible says, upholds his creation by his word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, all, circle it, all things have been created through him and for him. The work of the Son also includes his atonement for our sin. Through his resurrection, he defeated sin and Satan and death. And he offers forgiveness of that sin in our lives and the promise of eternal life. Now he prepares a place for us. He's interceding for us. He's advocating for us before he returns to rule and reign. Jesus also made it clear that he's still building his church. And unless he's building it, we're just doing it in vain. And so at the center of all that is happening within the church around the world is Jesus at work. As millions of people are rescued from sin through faith in him, as we see more disciples made and trained, more leaders raised up to do the great work that he is doing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." You know, it's amazing to consider the work Jesus has done, is doing, and will do. He accomplishes what we never could as we serve him. He also invites us to confidently trust him to take care of what he promised he would do. So important that we ground ourselves in that truth. And then finally, and certainly not by the least when it comes to this list of knowing him, is the salvation of the Son. Salvation can be found in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus sat with Nicodemus in the night and he said, "You must be born again." He's trying to get his head around what that looks like, but he's talking about a spiritual renewal of the heart, of the spirit. Christ created us. He upholds us. He redeemed us, forgives us, and he offers us eternal life through faith in him. And if we're trusting, listen, this is a little bit of a disclaimer and a warning, especially in the days that we're in. But if we're trusting anyone or anything else out there to save us, then our trust is sadly misplaced. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can offer us the gift of salvation because he's the only one who paid for that gift. Final scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is salvation in no one else." There's no other way. There is one way. "God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." It still is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, your Son, to give himself on the cross, to lay down his life, that we could be forgiven of our sin, that we could be given new life. We thank you for that salvation. And we pray, Lord, for everyone watching today, everyone attending here on Sunday. And today, if you're searching for answers, if you're still confused when it comes to your purpose and why you're here, the only way that you will ever discover the true meaning of the life that you've been blessed with is by knowing him, Jesus, the Son of the living God. So if that's you, today I want to give you an opportunity to pray a simple prayer that takes you from that place of confusion, that you go from being lost to being found, and your heart is filled with hope and peace in the midst of a world that lacks both. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for me and dying on the cross. Forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Help me to know you and to share the truth of what you've done in my life with the world around me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.